Now our text for this morning are the opening words of verse 25 of Joshua chapter number 6. It simply says, "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive." Now our text here is set against the backdrop of the conquest of the city of Jericho. In this victory over Jericho, there was faith. The Bible tells us by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. At this time, Israel depended upon the Lord for victory. As well as faith, there was a falling down of Jericho's walls. Mighty walls they were. Verse 20 of Joshua 6 says, "The wall fell down flat." And that shows us that no barrier of man can withstand God's almighty power. Also in the taking of Jericho, verse 21 of the chapter tells us that there was death. It says, "And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city." And this reminds us that God's judgment was upon the people for their sin. And friends, sin always reaps a whirlwind of death. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Also in the taking of Jericho, it is worth noting that there was fire. Look at verse 24 of the chapter. It says, "And they burned the city with fire and all that there was therein." And that fire reminds us of God's eternal judgment of fire and hell upon all who die unsaved, upon all who will die in their sin. The Bible says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." But along with these solemn things, we can see also in the taking of Jericho that there was mercy. And we read of that mercy in the words of our text this morning, where it says, "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive." And there we're told of how Rahab, and not only Rahab, but her family as well, that they were saved from the judgment of Jericho. It goes on down that verse 25, and it says, "And her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." There was fire. There was judgment. There was death. There was a breaking down of the barriers that men had put up. There was faith. But in the midst of it all, there was mercy. In the midst of his wrath, God remembered mercy. Friends, when we think here of Rahab's deliverance from the destruction of Jericho, it's a great picture of the salvation of every sinner. Yes, Rahab's deliverance here depicts her own salvation, but it also portrays for us the saving of all who have and all who ever will come to the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. And for a little while this morning, friends, it is this portrait here of salvation from Rahab's deliverance that I want us to consider and to look at this morning. First of all, in this portrait, we see the miracle of salvation, the miracle of salvation. My Rahab's deliverance here from God's judgment upon Jericho was a miraculous marvel. Why? Because her own house was built upon the wall, and that is where she lived. Back in chapter number 2, in the verse 15, it says, "For her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall." Therefore, when the wall of Jericho was to fall down flat, her house also would have been demolished, unless God intervened in a miraculous fashion. Well, the Bible does show us and tell us that God indeed did intervene in a miraculous way. In a miraculous way, he preserved the life of Rahab and her family. And our text this morning is a testimony to that miracle. For it says, "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had." A miracle took place in the deliverance of this woman. And you know, we can say this morning in like manner, the salvation of every sinner, whoever that sinner is, wherever they are to be found, requires a miracle of God. Why? Because by nature man is dead in trespasses and in sins. In a spiritual sense, he is just like a dead corpse. He is totally and utterly dead to God in and of himself. However, by the regenerating power of God the Holy Ghost, God comes to such. And in a marvelous manner and in a miraculous manner, he quickens that dead soul to newness of life. He quickens that dead soul by the miracle of the new birth unto life eternal, child of God. That's what God has done for you in the new birth. Turn in your Bible over to Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse number 1, and you will see that for yourself as Paul writes here to the Ephesian believers. Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse number 1. He says, "And you have he quickened," or if you like, made alive, "who were dead and in trespasses and in sins," child of God. This is what God has done for you. He has quickened you. You and I who were once dead in our trespasses and in our sins. Oh, unsaved friend at our meeting, let me say this. If you are to have hope for time and for eternity, this is what must take place in your heart and your life. You must know the quickening power of God and the new birth. For without the new birth, you are without hope, the Bible says. In Ephesians 2 and the verse 12, it says you're an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, a stranger from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Oh, if you're still unsaved, still dead in trespasses and in your sins this morning, oh, that you would cry out to God, "Lord, save me. Lord, intervene in my life." For no matter how religious you are or may appear to be, without the new birth, you're dead in sin and in your trespasses. You're separated from God. You're cut off from God. You are still on that broad road to a lost eternity. Now you must have the miracle of the new birth. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus, a very religious man, a very upright man, a very good man, morally sincere. Jesus said, "Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Oh, friend, unsaved, you must be born again. You must have the miracle of the new birth. Yes, in this portrait we see the miracle of salvation. But notice, secondly, in this portrait you also see the grace of salvation. Look at Joshua chapter 6. It's interesting to note that three times in this chapter Rahab is called a harlot. Look at verse 17 of the chapter. It says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live." Look at verse 22 again. It says, "But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go in to the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that ye have, as ye swear unto her." And then in the words of her text, verse 25, it says, "And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive." And those words show us something about this woman. In her unsaved state, she lived a most immoral lifestyle. And my, her vile sin was characteristic of the city of Jericho itself at that time. And for this sin, and for many other types of vile and immoral sins, God poured out his wrath and his judgment upon that city at that time. Yet in the midst of his judgment, God remembers mercy. And he saves this woman, Rahab, in spite of the vileness and the depravity of her sin. And surely this shows to us the grace of God in salvation. And you know, it is the same for all whom God saves. It is all due to the grace of God. Oh, child of God, realize this morning. You and I did not deserve God's so great salvation. Rather, we deserve the judgment of God upon us for our sins. The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And my, there is nothing in you and I whatsoever to merit the salvation of God. The Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Yet in the spite of the vileness of our sin, the Lord, dear child of God, has saved you and I. And it is all due to the amazing grace of God in Christ. Turning your Bible over to Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 8 and 9. And you'll see this again as Paul writes to the Christians at Ephesus. And this applies to every child of God. Ephesians 2 and verses 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Christian, our salvation from start to finish is all of God's grace. How thankful we should be. How full of praise and adoration to God we should be for His grace toward us in salvation. Child of God, apart from the grace of God, you and I would not be sitting here saved in this meeting this morning. Apart from the grace of God, there's not one of us who are believers today who would be saved. It's all due to the grace of God. John Newton, the preacher and the hymn writer of a bygone day, thinking of what God had done for him in Christ. Indeed, he wrote that hymn as an anniversary to what God had done for him in salvation. He said this, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." And John Newton was far, far down in the vileness of his sin. There's a fact that his tongue, his language was so corrupt and so vile that even the hardest of sailors in his day, my, were ashamed at the very things that he said about God and the things of God. Yet God reached down and God saved John Newton. Oh, believer in Christ, you and I can say the same this morning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We're only wretches saved by the grace of God from the depths and the depravity of our sins. Friend, if you are unsaved today, let me say this. No matter how far down in the depths of sin you may be, praise God, there is hope for you today in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul called himself the chief of sinners, yet the Lord saved him by His grace and by His power. Praise God, we're still in the day of grace. We're still in the day of opportunity. Notice something else in this portrait this morning. Not only the miracle of salvation and the grace of salvation, but notice thirdly, the reception of salvation. In Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 31, you read these words. It says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." And there you see that faith was an important factor in her deliverance. The Bible says that we are justified by faith. Well, Rahab's trust was in the Lord for deliverance, and proof of her faith is seen in the fact that she believed that the Lord had given the land of Canaan to the children of Israel. Go back to Joshua chapter 2 and the verse number 9, and you'll see that for yourself in what she says to the two spies. It says, "And she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land." She trusted in the Lord, that the Lord had given this land to Israel. She trusted in the Lord. And in like fashion, let me say this, every sinner receives God's salvation by trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only means of the pardon of their sins and as the only means of the deliverance of their soul from eternal judgment in a lost sinner's hell. It's by faith the sinner receives God's salvation for himself. You remember the Philippian jailer who wanted to be saved? Remember the answer he received from Paul and Silas? They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Child of God, you were saved. The day, the moment, the time you trusted in Christ and trusted in His finished work alone for the pardoning of your sin and the salvation of your soul. Someone has once said that saving faith is resting faith, the trust which relies entirely on the Savior. And dear unsaved friend in our meeting this morning, let me say this. If you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ as a repentant sinner and trust in His finished work upon the cross, you too can be saved and know your sins forgiven and know the great assurance of what it means to be saved from a lost eternity in hell itself. Remember those tremendous words of John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl, unsaved today. If you recognize your need as a sinner before God, your lost estate, and you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, just as you are, and say, Lord, save me. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for me. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, we see faith in this portrait. But notice something else. In the fourth place this morning, notice in this portrait you see also the guarantee of salvation. Go back to Joshua chapter 2 and the verse number 18. And notice what is said there regarding the spies and what Rahab was to do so that she would be delivered from the judgment. Verse 18 of Joshua chapter 2, it says, the spies are speaking to her here. And they say, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Rahab was to hang a scarlet cord from her window. And this was really the guarantee that she and all in her house would be spared from God's judgment when the city would be taken. The scarlet cord was to be hung out of the window as a guarantee that she and her family would be saved. And you know, this scarlet cord is a wonderful picture and a wonderful reminder of the redeeming blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the redeeming blood of Christ is the guarantee of the salvation of every sinner. Yes, it is by faith in the blood of Christ that guarantees the cleansing away of our sin before God. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And it is by faith in the blood of Christ that we are saved from divine judgment and wrath to come. Paul, speaking of Christ and the blood that He shed upon the cross, said of Christ having made peace by the blood of His cross. You remember what God said to Israel on the night of their redemption out of Egypt when the death angel was coming in to slay the firstborn in the house of Egypt. And the blood of the Lamb had to be taken and sprinkled upon the doorposts and the lintels of the homes. It had to be applied to the houses in Israel. And God's promise was this, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Why, the hymn writer could say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Praise God, child of God, it's the blood of Christ that guarantees the pardon of all your sins. It's the blood of Christ that guarantees the salvation of your soul for all of eternity. The blood applied by faith to your heart. Dear unsaved friend at our meeting, let me say this, that if your sins are to be all forgiven by God, if your soul is to be saved from a lost eternity in hell and in judgment, then the mark of the blood must be upon your heart. Tell me, as God looks down upon this meeting, what does He see? Does He see the mark of self-righteousness upon your heart for salvation, or the mark of good works or religiosity? Or does He see the mark of the blood of Christ upon your soul? The Bible says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Tell me, have you come to Christ for cleansing? Has the blood of Christ been applied to your heart by faith for the forgiveness of your sins? Oh, friend, if you're to be saved, you must come to Christ. You must come to the blood of sprinkling, the blood of Christ that speak of better things than that of Abel's. The blood of Christ, the redeeming, incorruptible blood of Christ, must be applied by faith to your heart. But notice in the fifth place tonight, or this morning from this portrait of salvation, notice the mark, if you like, the evidence of Rahab's salvation. And the mark or the evidence of Rahab's salvation is seen in the fact that she hid the spies. Look at verse 17 again of Joshua chapter 6. It says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." And by the mark, the evidence of Rahab's salvation is seen in the fact there that she hid the spies. You think about that. And go over to the New Testament, to James chapter 2. And James here comments on her life and on her conversion. James chapter 2 in the New Testament, and verses 25 and verse 26 at the end of James chapter 2. And here you have God's commentary upon the evidence of salvation in the life of Rahab. James 2 verse 25 says, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith," Bible says, "without works is dead also." What does it mean there that she was justified by works? What it really means, her works were an evidence. They were a proof. They were a testimony of what God had done in the life of this woman in saving her soul and changing her life by the mighty grace of God. She proved the genuineness of her faith by protecting the spies, because she knew they were the Lord's people. And you know, a further mark of the reality of her salvation is also seen in the fact that she had to witness to her family of the coming judgment and to gather them safely into her house. Look at what it says there in Joshua chapter 6, verse 25. It says, "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had." She had to tell them, "Judgment is coming. You can only be saved by coming into my house where the scarlet cord is applied and hanging from." She witnessed of the judgment to come. James says, "I will show thee my faith by my works." We're not saved by works, no. But Christian, you show forth your salvation by good works. When you're saved by the grace of God, you show forth your salvation by good works, by a good testimony, but by doing good unto others, by witnessing to others, by serving the Lord in your life. Dear people, let me ask, as the world looks on, does it see not just by your words, but by your life, by your action, that you belong to the Lord? Does the world see you marked by good works? Does the world see you serving Christ, witnessing for Christ, living for Christ? Have you a testimony before others, known and read of all men? Oh, Christian, it is by a life of good works that you as a believer glorify God, glorify Christ. Read Ephesians 6, verse 10. The whole purpose in God saving sinners is that they are saved, the Bible says, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that they should walk in them. We're not saved by good works, but once we are saved, the Bible says we're to do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. But notice in the sixth place this morning in this portrait, you see also the jubilation of salvation. Look at verse 24 and 25 of Joshua chapter 6. It says, "And they burned the city with fire and all that was therein." Verse 25. "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had." You think of that. When Rahab and her family were saved out of the fire, out of the judgment, their hearts would have been filled with joy, with jubilation, with ecstasy at what God had done in their deliverance. And you know, in like manner, we can say this morning that God's salvation leads to true joy. It leads to true happiness, true contentment, I'm not saying this morning that the Christian's life is free from trials. Far from that. No Christian is immune from troubles and trials and difficulties and difficult situations in this life. But in the midst of it all, the Christian can rejoice in the Lord. The Christian can rejoice in his salvation, in all that God has done for him, and in all that God is yet to do for him. How does the psalmist describe the people of God in Psalm 144? He says, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Turn with me over to the prophecy of Habakkuk, over toward the end of the New Testament. Habakkuk chapter number 3. And look with me at the final three verses of Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk was saved, a faithful servant of God, who lived and ministered in difficult times, days of apostasy and awful falling away in the nation of Israel. Yet in the midst of all his trials, he rejoiced in the Lord and in God's salvation. Look at verse 17 of Habakkuk chapter 3. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He was rejoicing in the Lord. Think of what the hymn writer says, dear believer. It says, there's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee. I know the question has often been asked, where then is happiness found? And the answer to that question is simply this: in Christ Jesus as Savior. Friends, let me warn you in the meeting this morning, the devil will come to you, he'll attack you. The world will come and try to deceive you into thinking that there's pleasure in sin. But the Bible says the pleasures of sin are only for a season. They are short-lived. What does sin really reap? What's the harvest of sin? The harvest of sin is this: heartache, sorrow, tears, bitterness, remorse, guilt, death, and destruction. That's the harvest of sin. The Bible says, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But my, when you repent of your sin and trust the Lord, dear believer, you can know, as the Bible says, that joy unspeakable and full of glory that's found in the Lord. And Rahab found that. But notice one final thing this morning here regarding this woman's salvation. Notice the rest of her salvation. The rest of her salvation. Joshua chapter 6, when Rahab and her family were brought out of Jericho, she was initially left outside the camp of Israel, and there she had to wait until she was cleansed in accordance with the ceremony of the Levitical law. Look at verse 23 of the chapter. It says, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred. And notice it, left them without the camp of Israel. And that was in accordance with the Levitical law for those that were Gentiles. They had to be cleansed in accordance with the ceremony of the Levitical law. But once that had taken place, this woman Rahab and all her family were welcomed into the camp of Israel. And there they were to abide with the people of God the rest of their days. Look at the latter part of verse 25 of Joshua chapter 6. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. Notice it, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. And you know the rest there, the abode of Rahab, it reminds us of the rest, the abode of all who are saved. You see, when God saves a person, he brings them into God's family. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And as members of God's family, God will one day bring every member of that family safely and securely into heaven, the place of eternal life, eternal rest, eternal glory. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 17. And you'll see that from the very words of Christ as he prays to his heavenly Father. Look at verse 12 and verse number 24 of John chapter 17. Christ here is speaking of those who are redeemed, those whom he has saved in his family to his heavenly Father. Verse 12, he says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. And those that thou gavest me," that's all God's redeemed people, "I have kept. And none of them is lost." Look at verse 24. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." The believer will spend all of eternity with the glory of God in Christ in heaven. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. The hymn writer says of the Lord, "In heaven in thy presence there is fullness of joy." Praise God, dear believer, when you're saved and in Christ, this world isn't your home. You can look forward to heaven. Look forward to the eternal rest of glory. Whenever D.L. Moody was leaving the scene of time, he said to those gathered around him, "One day you will hear in the papers that Moody is dead. Don't you believe a word of it," he said. "I shall be more alive than I am now." He was looking forward to heaven. Dear friend unsaved, are you longing to be in heaven one day? Longing to be with the redeemed of God? Then now in time you must come in faith to Christ, repenting of your sin and trusting him as your Savior. And the promise of God's word is this: "He that hath the Son hath life." My one received will meet with Rahab in the glory. I'm sure of that, because the Bible says she was saved by faith. But friend, if you are to be in heaven, if you're to be saved from a lost eternity, and be in the glory land, the land that is fairer than day, then now in time you must come to Christ and trust him as your own and personal Savior.